Here it is, okay? I may be slow, but I'm sure. So I made it here on the last day, right, of the month. So praise God, praise God. And, you know, I just really encourage you to take the pastor's letter and not just simply read it, but it's something I pray about. It's something I ask for guidance over. And you know, you might take it and use it as a study guide. And I just really want to encourage you in that. And then along with that, you know, of course, along with that is the book review quote. And you remember the book that we're reading right here. You know, I got it in my hand. You know, Secrets of Spiritual Power by Watchman Nee. It's absolutely wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. You know, I was reading it on my porch this yesterday morning. I've read it many times through the years. I got several books. I read them many times. You know, they're always fresh and new to me, you know, because I'm not simply reading like I'm reading a novel. You know, I take it, I'll look up the scriptures, I ponder it, that type of thing. You know, so this will really bless you. And so I just felt like bringing it today that I would lift it up and say, hey, if you haven't done it yet, you know, I just encourage you to do it. You know, it's not that costly. This book, you can get it, Secrets to Spiritual Power by Watchman Nee. All right, so praise the name of the Lord. Enough of that, huh? Okay, so praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans, if we would. We're going to Romans chapter 10. I had the Lord, I was looking, this is a journey for the promise, and this is part two. Journey for the Promise in part two. And I was going on to talk about covenant exchange. That's what I had on my heart. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, Ron, I want you to slow down a little bit. Okay? I want you to slow down a little bit. And so that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to slow down here. I'm going to go over some of the things that we touched upon last week. And I'm going to look at them again, and we will take it a little bit further from there. And I'm going to speak a lot of things that maybe you have heard, but with this, as I'm talking about the way of faith and how we walk by faith and how faith releases the grace of God in our lives and how we must have an active faith before the Lord. And I will say a lot of things that I know that maybe you have heard before, but I hope also that what I'm doing is I'm going to bring in some missing, what I call missing elements, you know, in the teaching of the way of faith. Many times when you start talking about faith, you start talking about the things that we're looking at here through the Word, immediately your mind will go to a certain camp and say, oh, well, that's the doctrine that is of that camp right there. As a matter of fact, I think I told you, I was in Cape Town and teaching at a conference there some years back, and I was teaching on the covenant walk of Almighty God. Many of these things that I'm talking about right now, and these were to missionaries, and these were workers that worked in the Posmore prison, a notorious prison that's down there. And we had a conference for them. And come together. People from all over the world really were there because they given themselves to missionary work in the Posmore prison. And so anyway, but when they heard the word, they couldn't hardly, there was a group of them that couldn't really hear what I was preaching and teaching. They immediately put me in a camp. They immediately put me into a camp. And then they closed their ears and they couldn't hear. That's the name it and claim it and the prosperity people. That's the message that they preach. There may be elements of that, but I hope to complete what I would call some missing points that many times that we don't hear. So may your ears be open. May you be able to hear. May you be able to receive what the word of the Lord says, because the way of covenant and the way that we find and walk in the covenant promises of God is on the basis of faith through grace. Everything that God does in your life is on the basis of faith through grace. Every part of fruit bearing, every work of righteousness, every work of holiness that you find in your life is bore as a fruit in your life through believing on the Lord. You know, that doesn't mean there's not a labor involved, because you have a heart for. You have a heart after. But it's not works and it's not legalism. When you got a heart for something, then you work at practicing it. And that's another element that's involved with your faith and receiving, is the practice of righteousness. I practice righteousness because I love the Lord. I love the Lord, so I want to be pleasing to God. And so I practice those things that He loves, right? And so this is a love fellowship. And that is at the root and the foundation of your faith. Now, let's go on and look here in Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to look right here at verse 9 and 10 and read that again, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and we read these things, we've read them today, we read them so often in conjunction with getting saved. And that's how we kind of have set a mindset in the church, that these scriptures, but that's really not fully the context, although we can use it in that manner. It's talking about how we receive from God and how we walk with God. And he goes on, and notice he says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, it goes on and it kind of expands upon that a little bit. On verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believes. You know, so you don't believe with your intellect. Your intellect may be involved, but you can give intellectual assent unto God, and you will never, ever really have real true faith in one's heart. You know, having it intellectually and having it in your heart are really two different things. You know, that's the difference also between being a reader and being a believer. There's a difference. Isn't it amazing? There are people that will read and they will read and they will read, but they never take faith and they never believe upon what they're reading. And so there's never any change that ever comes in their lives. They may be good church attending people. They may be good moral people or whatever it would be. But they barely bear any fruit in their life. And they don't really see the transforming power of Almighty God. There's times that in their life that they'll have a wonder about that. The Holy Spirit's trying to wake them up. He's trying to wake them up to take another step forward. But there are those that go through their whole life and they're nothing but a reader. They're a reader. They're not a believer. You know, and that's the opposite of what this is saying right here. Their approach becomes an intellectual understanding. You know, and we have to bypass that intellectual understanding and we move into the realm of a childlike faith and acceptance and receiving from the Lord. In the midst of that, in believing, your heart is made to surrender. That's how your heart is made, how God created you. And so when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about a surrender to the Lord. And what kind of a surrender is it? It's to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Right? Now, you know, you come into the kingdom of God in that manner, and you're born again by the Spirit of God, and then you're walking with the Lord. And this is a continual work of submission unto the will of God. It's an openness. It is a surrender. And to me, this has been one of the missing elements that has been a part of the faith teaching. I wrote a little point down here, is that you possess the promises, and the promises possess you. And that's been a missing element in what I call the faith teaching, because it's not a matter of taking promises, believing upon them, begin to confess them, and then God is obligated automatically to do that. And that's where a lot of that teaching, what it does. But there's an element here that I think is missed a lot. That's the surrendered heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, when I come before the Lord and I begin to ask God, and I really want to encourage you, you know, God never gets tired of you asking, but ask in faith and not in doubt and not in fear. If you have doubts, as we all do, as you have doubts and as you have fear, then work them out before God. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. You know, God sees it. He knows it. You know, you may be asking things that you don't have the faith to believe for. Don't raise your hand. Anybody else in here done that other than me? Many times. But then you begin to work it out. And that's also another element that is missed with the walk of faith. You know, that a lot of times we just think that, you know, pizzazz, there it is, you know. And if I don't have it, you know, then I'm down in the mouth. And there's like a mystery as to how you get to that place. I'll tell you how you get to that place. Work it out, okay? And you do that before the throne of God. You know, you have a starting place, and the Spirit of God will bring you to the place to where you will receive the promise of the Lord. All right. Now, so I think that's very important to understand. Now, what do I mean, you know, when I say, you know, you possess the promises and the promises possess you? Well, first of all, let's see right here. Let me read a scripture to you, and I want you to just listen to it. This comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's verse 4. It says, "For by these he has granted." It's talking about his power. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Now listen to this part. In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. So we see right there through the word of the Lord that part of receiving the promises is also the submitting to the transforming power of Almighty God. You know, you let God have his way. You let God, there's a fresh surrender. You know, let me say that again. You possess the promises. God wants you to possess the promises because that is has been inaugurated through his holy, righteous blood, and it is the covenant promises of Almighty God. We've looked at the word, and we know what the word says, that they are what? They are yes and amen in him, right? They belong to you in the Lord. You know, but there are conditions to the covenant promises of God. There are conditions, and we come to meet those conditions. So we see right here, you know, that it says that we believe in our heart. That means that we surrender. And here's what do we mean that the promises possess you? Well, we're talking about the life of the promises. We're talking about the character of the promises, the nature of the promises, which is all God. It's all of him. It's his character. It's his nature. So you see that? And as you walk in that way, I'm telling you right now, God will perform his will. He will perform his will. He will grant his blessings, and they will begin to pour into your life more than they've ever poured before. And this is a very important element. Now, there's another element right here. You know, so I surrender my heart to him, and I believe on him. I believe on the promise. I stand on the promise in a childlike faith before the Lord. Now, there's a battle for your heart. You know, there's a battle, the fiery darts to the mind. Take every thought captive, right, to the obedience of Christ. You know, the evil one will hit you with things. He'll hit you with that reasoning and that logical thinking. Well, I just can't see how. Well, you know, okay. Well, that's what makes him God, right? You know, I can't see how. You don't have to, don't fall for the trap of that, you know, to really believe it, I've got to logically understand how it would happen. Well, that's not true at all. And that's the devil's lie. And that's a fiery dart. It's a natural trap that he hits you with, okay? The other one is the work of speculation. Now, these are two great works of fiery darts against your faith, all right? I can't see how, all right? And one goes with the other, and the other is speculating. You begin to speculate over how these events would take place. I'm going to tell you right now, when God's ready to move, he'll drop it in your lap. He'll drop the promise in your lap. He'll drop the blessing into your lap. It'll come out of left field. It'll come out of nowhere. It'll fall down right on top of you. It'll fall down when you least expected it to come, and it'll be right there manifested in its fullness by the power and might of Almighty God. That's how it'll come about. Right? You know, and then that is another point to be made. that is very important that I think is also missed a lot. And that is, see, when you have the surrendered heart before the Lord, then you're not disappointed. Right? And there's been many a people who have had their faith shipwrecked by what I call really not a true message of faith. All right? You know, not a true message. And it becomes a message of gain. And it becomes a message of selfish ambition. Well, see, there's no place for that when you walk in the surrendered heart. There's no place for that. You know, and in the surrendered heart, you deal with the obstacles. You deal with the obstacles. You know, I'll come upon promises and things in the Word, and I'll pray them before the Lord. And then no more than I pray them before the Lord, that I got to humble myself before God. And I got to say, I don't even know my own heart, Lord God. You know, I don't even know my own heart, Lord God. You know, and that's an amazing thing, because you understand, you know, and you don't feel anything happening, but you just surrendered all of that obstacle up into the hands of the Lord. That's what you just did. And he took them. You know, and if you're wrestling with, you know, like an ambition, right, or whatever it would be, man, I just really want this to be so, you know, and I really want this to come about. I want it to come about, you know, the way I got it in my mind, right? Okay, and then you open your heart, and you're, Lord, I don't even know my own heart, Lord God. I don't even know where I stand. I'm not really sure, you know, if this is just me, and it's just my heart and all that I want. I don't know, Lord God. I just give it to you. Well, there's a cleansing flow that comes in the midst of that. And there is a making things right in the heart that the Holy Spirit begins to line up because you just gave it to him. Isn't that neat? You know, that is neat. You know, that has been a missing element, and that is letting God be God, you know, and letting him have his way. And then that other element I mentioned is that timing factor, okay? You know, because you don't get mad at God. You don't get down in the mouth. You know, you don't fall into depression, you know, or anything like that. You know, you don't cool your heels toward God, right? You know, because I'm disappointed. You better watch it, because disappointment will fill your heart, and disappointment will quench the fire of Almighty God within you, and you better be aware that it's a fiery dart of the evil one, and he'll use it every time he can. He'll use it every time he can. And many times the way that happens and those disappointments come about is that we put up our own expectations as to how it should be or when it should be. Right? That's what we do. I bet you Abraham did a little bit of that. Yes. Don't you? Right? You know? And he took on Hagar, right? You know, he kind of gave up on, you know, God doing it. You know, this being, you know, logically thinking. Do you know all those stories and everything that we read like that is for our instruction? You know, that's what the Word says. You read the Word, okay, and take heed to the stories that you read. They're not just stories, okay? They're not just stories. They're giving you and I instructions on just exactly how God moves and what he does. And so, you know, you need to understand that God will treat you the way that he treated Abraham. Now, he's got a timing for things. He had a timing with Abraham as well. But the point was that God brought Abraham to the place to where he had nothing to present God except his faith. That was it, right? Now, you trust the Lord with this, you know, and you walk in that submission of heart. And as you walk in that, the Lord will do what he needs to do. If he needs to do a quick work with you, then he'll do a quick work, because he will unfold it with the timing of the Lord, right? He will unfold it with the timing of the Lord. You must trust in the timing of the Lord. Now, you don't hear that in that old faith message. You just don't hear that. And you need to understand that. And that's why there's a lot of people that have shipwrecked faith. And I'm going to be honest that it's come through that message. They have shipwrecked faith. And you know why they have shipwrecked faith? Because they let an ambition, they were taught it from the pulpit too, and they let an ambition come into their life. And they're really walking in selfish ambition instead of a surrendered heart. And so they believe upon, they do what it says to practice, and they believe upon a promise, and they begin to confess it. And the confession is very important, you know, to our walk of faith. And I want to say that. I'll talk more about it in a minute. But they think that this is a mechanical thing. I remember what I said the other day. You know, God doesn't do anything mechanically. God does not do anything mechanically. It's out of a fellowship, and it's out of a relationship, and it's through a drawing near, and it's through an establishment of an intimacy with Almighty God. And as you walk in that, then God begins to move and fulfill promises and covenant promises and covenant ways and covenant blessings that begin to flow. He'll even bless you with things you didn't even ask for. That's pretty good, isn't it? Don't you love that? You know, he'll bless you with things you didn't ask for because God does not move in a mechanical fashion. A lot of that teaching has turned it into a mechanical fashion. And not only that, but for neglect, there is like an assumption that I've already got Jesus. Oh, you know, I don't have to deal with that no more. I've already got the Lord. I've confessed Jesus as Lord. I don't have to deal with that anymore. Oh, now it's go in and possess these promises. And it's half true. And those are the most dangerous lies of all, are half-truths, okay? Because I'm walking in a living communion and a living fellowship with Almighty God, that I'm always dealing with the Lordship of Jesus Christ over my life, right? That's relations, the nature of relationships, right? You know, you keep what? You know, if you husbands and wives gave your heart to your husband or wife, on the day that you got married, and you've been married now for 25, 30 years, where is your heart today? Have you not still been giving your heart? You know, do they have your heart now? Or, well, you know, I already did that, right? that won't make you mate too happy, will it? Right? Okay, so you understand what I'm saying? And what we think God's different about that? You know, above all else is he wants you. All right? He wants your ambition to be for him. He wants your ambition to be for him. I want him more than I want any promise that exists in the word of the Lord. Because apart from him, it's meaningless. But that's not in that teaching. It's not in that teaching. And so what happens is that a lot of people with a lot of things that we're looking at even right now and hear these things, then people run away from faith. They run away from faith as a practice in their lives because of the abuses that they've heard, and it's taken place because of missing elements with the message. And so as a result of that, what you have is that selfish ambition, selfishness, worldliness, okay, fills their heart, and they begin to believe promises without being submitted to any kind of transformation or change in their own heart or their own life. They believe that it's all about gain. And so as I walk in this the right way, then what happens is that I'm continually yielding myself up. And what's happening to me is that I'm coming in the Lord deeper and deeper. Right? Oh, what a wonderfulness that is. And then here comes promises and here comes blessings. Some of them I've stood on and some of them I have not stood on. Or maybe I stood on them a long time ago. But whatever it would be. And then here comes this transforming power, this revelation, this revealing, this intimacy of a communion and a fellowship with the living God. And this is what I rejoice in. And this is what I glory in. You know, and I'm grateful for blessings and promises. But oh, to have him is above it all. Because with him comes it all. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just absolutely amazing? You know, so this is what we see here. And then look at this. It goes on in verse, I'm going to read this a verse again. It says in 10, for with the heart the man believes, resulting in righteousness. And that's a gift of God, all right? You know, I don't understand it all, but God just simply says, hey, if you will believe me, and you believe from the heart, that's a surrendered heart, not from the intellect. Not from the intellect, but from the heart. You know, and that's a surrendered heart. And when I say, Lord, my heart's yours, that's what I'm declaring. Lord, my heart's yours. I believe on you. I believe on you. And yes, we do believe specifically. I'm encouraging you to believe specifically on the promises of God. This is the covenant of the Lord, right? Okay. Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, covenant. That's what we have right here. Okay, so yes, I believe specifically on the Lord, but I first believe upon him. I surrender. Right? Okay. And then comes the gift of righteousness. Now you're in right standing with the Lord simply because you believe upon him. You receive the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, you believe upon me, I'll wash you from all of your sins. I'll present you before me. I'll give you the gift of my righteousness as I took upon the cross the punishment for all of your wickedness and all your sin. I have given a covenant exchange to you as I took your poverty, as we've read in the Word, and I will give you my riches. Right. All right. And so you believe upon that, and that's a gift. Then look here. Then it goes on. It says this part in verse 10. Now it says, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses. Okay, another element, resulting in salvation. Salvation is the obtaining of that righteousness and all that concerns that righteousness. That salvation, in other words, it's implemented. It means that it comes. So an important element to your surrendered heart and to your believing on the Lord is the confession of your mouth. It is important. It's very important. And that's how we obtain. You must confess these things. You must confess his righteousness. You confess his promises, right? And as you do that, I've told you that I think last week, that word, that Greek word is homologa, and it means to say the same. I'm going to get the negativity of doubt and fear and unbelief out of my heart. And when I run into it, I'm going to confront it and I'm going to face it. With me? Right? You know, I'll be honest with you. For me, what I believe is that repentance, that's another element that with the walk of faith is not really ever talked about. Oh, I repented back there. No, I don't. I repent all the time. Okay? Matter of fact, really, I'll be honest with you. You know, repentance increases with the more revelation and knowledge that you have of God, because you behold his ways and the Holy Spirit enables you to discern the true conditions of your thoughts, attitudes, and hearts in the inner man. And because where before you used to run roughshod over those things that were not pleasing to God, not giving a thought as to whether they were or whether they weren't, but now you have a sensitivity that's working on the inside of you, and all of a sudden, nobody may see it, no one may know it, but you see it, you hear it in your inner man, in your attitude, in your feeling, with the words that you're about to say that are going to embarrass the fire out of you and humiliate you to no end, because you're going to have to make them right later on. It's better not to say anything. But it's not about just not saying. There's a lot of people that have learned how to wear a smile, right? There is a lot of people that have learned how to wear a smile, right? Because they know that that's supposed to be, but boy, what if you could get a hold of their thoughts, it'd scare you to death, right? It'd scare you to death. But see, repentance deals with all those inner issues. And about the time you stand on something and then, you know, something comes up, the Holy Spirit begins to deal. If you believe on promises, then expect to get dealt with by God. If you don't believe on promises, expect to get dealt with by God. So it'd be better to believe on him, wouldn't it? Right? Because he's going to deal with you anyway. Right? He's going to deal with you whether you want to be dealt with or not. But people get offended and they get hard-hearted. You know, their hardness of heart, and they all against God, you know, and against the Lord. Isn't it amazing? Amazing. You know, how many people, I'm going to be just dirt level honest with you if you don't care, and that is, how many people in the city of Owensboro have turned away from the working and the power of the Holy Spirit because they've gotten wounded because of a doctrine or because something that's been taught, because of something that they didn't receive or something that didn't happen or whatever it would be, and a hardness of heart comes in their heart and they go clear to the opposite direction of the working and the ways of the Spirit of the living God. That's always the way of the evil one. If he can't catch you in something, then he wants you to become offended or wounded over something where that the real truth of the matter, you'll run the opposite direction as far as you can. And as the old saying goes, what you do is you throw out the baby with the bathwater. Now you can't even walk in the real truth of the word because it always brings your memory back up to that thing or that place. What a trap, huh? What a trap. What a bondage that is, you know, and the evil one's locked you out of receiving what the word really says. Amazing, isn't it? Okay, here's one other point that I want to bring in real quick, and that's up here in verse 8. And this is another point that we come to that many times that have been misunderstood or used in a wrong way. I don't know if you want to call it that. Verse 8 says, and well, let's go back up into verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. All right? How does it speak? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Verse 7, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. I would love to take the time, but I won't do it right now. But those are direct quotes from Deuteronomy 30. I encourage you to read it. But he's talking about, he says, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to perform this word? It just seems out of our reach. I can't get high enough and I can't get low enough, either one. You know, it's so far away from me. And here's what he's saying to them. No, it is near you in your heart and in your mouth, the word of faith which we are preaching. That's what he's going to say. Did you know that's also what it says in Deuteronomy 30? It says the exact same thing. It says, no, it's not out of your reach. You know, it's not out of your reach. You can obtain it. Well, Lord, how do we obtain it? How do we obtain it? How do we obtain it? Now he's going to say just exactly how you do. Here it is. Let's go on. And let's read on in verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you. Now, that's that quote from Deuteronomy that is coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Matter of fact, actually 30:14. It says, the word is near you. Now, that's the promise of God, okay? And the word is near in your mouth and in your heart. Now, what is that? When you take those actions, what are you practicing? That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Oh, that's what they preached, huh? They preached the word of faith. And they preached a living word, not a dead-lettered word, okay? Now, where we look at this, and I just want to cover this real quick, when it says the word is near you in verse 8, that particular W-R-D is the word rhema. I know you've heard that. That is R-H-E-M-A. Now, when it comes to word, W-R-D, there is the rhema, and then there's also the word, the logos. You know this. You've heard this. Bear with me a moment. The written word of God. You know, it's a fixed word. And why am I making this distinction? Because I want you to know the difference between the rhema and also the logos, okay? All right, now, so you understand that what comes, what says here in the word, is that when you bring these elements together, the heart and your confession, you will be established in the word of faith. You will be established in the word of faith. And when you're established in the word of faith, that's when you possess it. It's mine. It's been given to you all along, but now it's become personal. Are you with me? It's mine. Now, I'll tell you more about the rhema, because some of that's been a little, maybe not really full clarity there. Okay, but when I say that the logos is a fixed word, it's a stagnant general word. In other words, it's an established word. I don't say that in a derogatory manner, but you'll hear this is the difference between that and the rhema. But now let me cover it again. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. Okay, Lord, how do I possess these promises? The word is near you. And then it says, now where? In your mouth and in your heart. There you go, right there. And what is the result? That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That's what they were preaching. All right, you know, that word, like for example, let me give the logos. Philippians, just listen, Philippians 2:16. Hold fast the word, that's logos, the word of life. All right, here is 1 Corinthians 1:18. Just listen, another example of the logos. For the word, W-R-D, word, logos, of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, dunamis. All right, now, but now here we're dealing, back here now, with the rhema. What's the difference between the logos and the rhema? All right, rhema, what is that word? I'll give you the definition. A word, a charge, a fact, listen, a message, sayings, statements. But now, let me give you the root word to rhema. The root word to rhema, I'll spell it for you, is R-H-E-O. That's the root word. You pronounce it as hero. All right? R-H-E-O. And listen to the difference. The rhema, the root word, is a timely, specific communication from God. A timely, specific communication from God. It's a dynamic, active word. It's a dynamic, active word. It's not like the logos. It comes out of the logos, but it's a dynamic, active word. Boy, oh boy, that's that personal touch of Almighty God speaking directly to you. Isn't that wonderful? Right? And that's what the rhema, that's what does the rhema. Rhema is not meant to be an occasional event. It's need to be, he says, this is the word we're preaching. Isn't that what he said? The word of faith in which we are preaching. So they were looking for the rhema, the life and the power that comes into the daily life of the believer, the rhema of Almighty God. All right, now, so let me give a little bit better here. And I'll be closing quickly. All right, and that is that, let me give you examples of the rhema. So what is the rhema? All right, it's a timely, specific communication from God. It's a dynamic, active word. Here's some examples of that, of how it comes forth. How the rhema comes forth. All right, a revelation. It comes as light. It comes as spiritual understanding. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You know, you'll take the word of the Lord and you're reading something, you know, and you're reading maybe in the Psalms or somewhere else, and you've read, and oh, glory to God, that's really wonderful. And then you come upon a certain word or you come upon a certain statement, and then all of a sudden there's a quickening that takes place, right? Oh, whoa, right? Okay. You just got the rhema. All right. Now, what God wants you to do is to take the rhema and do what the instructions of the word of the Lord is and establish yourself in faith over the rhema word that just came to you. And what is that? A surrendered heart. I'm going to believe upon the promise of God from the heart. And then what else am I going to do? I'm going to confess it with my mouth. Right? The Holy Spirit will lead us daily in these living ways. He will lead us daily in these living ways. All right, now, here's another one. Okay, enlightenment. An enlightenment. Okay, now here's another one. And a lot of times we don't think it's the rhema, but it is. And that's thoughts from God. But let me give you the nature of those thoughts. Thoughts from God that are weighty in mind and heart. All right? Thoughts from God. You know, I mean, you know, it just kind of comes to you. And doggone, that thing won't leave you. Right? You know? And boy, it's audacious, right? Oh, I tell you what, the next time you hear something audacious unfolding in your mind, why don't you stop dead in your tracks? And why don't you start lifting that audacious thing up to God? And why don't you just start receiving it by faith into your life? Okay? Because right behind the audaciousness of the thought comes the work of the evil one to humiliate you and shame you and embarrass you in any way that he possibly can. Who in the world do you think that you are, right? God will give you vision of things that he wants to do around the city in the realm of the spirit. It has to be worked out in the realm of the spirit before it can ever be worked out in the realm of the natural. And that's what we've been called to be in the body of Christ, in the church. But as long as we stay superficial, if the church stays superficial and not spiritual, then it will never be realized, the workings of the spirit that only God can do. That's why he tries to afflict us so much, to hinder us and rob us from really, truly realizing, really, the real power and authority that you, as the believer in the earth, really, truly possesses. It's mighty in God. All right? So weighty in mind and heart. Here's another one. Convictions, right? Convictions. You get a conviction from God. I don't mean being necessarily convicted about something as we religiously use that word all the time. That's okay, being convicted, right, of sin, and that's good to be convicted about sin. But convictions have a lot more to do with other things than it does simply about sin. Convictions, that's the rhema. You just got the rhema, okay? Here's another one. Something that you read, something that you find, or these thoughts of God, which also have to line up with the Word of God, okay? You with me there? They're going to have to line up with the Word of God. And that is, all of a sudden, over something, you're convinced. You're convinced, right? You just got the rhema. God's always speaking in this way to his people. Right? Now you understand, that what God is trying to lead you and I forward, and he's showing us how to possess the kingdom, and he's showing us how to possess the promises of Almighty God, and he's showing us the way of giving us even, even giving us the desires of our heart, which he loves to do. Now, it may not be that, that red Ferrari that you've been dreaming about. Right? It may not come, that may be the dream, but he's going to condense it into the thing that what is really crying out in your heart. You do understand that, right? We have cries of heart, and then we look at natural things and say, oh, that's going to satisfy, right? That's going to satisfy the natural desire. And we think that it's that. And God knows whether it's that or not. And after we get that, then we're going to grow tired of that because the place in the heart still has not been changed, still has not been filled with him. Are you with me there? Right? And this is the way the word. And then when he brings true satisfaction in the realm of the heart, in the desire of the heart, then you will be able to look back and say two things. Number one, I'm glad you didn't give me what I wanted. Whew, that would have been terrible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You didn't give me what I wanted, Lord, because I sure thought it was that. Boy, that would have been awful. That would have been awful. And then you'll be able to look back and you'll say, oh, glory to God. Look what you did. Look what you did. My goodness, I didn't know. I didn't know. But thank you, Lord. Hope that makes sense to you. Amen. Oh, praise God. I'm going to give you these things real quick, okay? And that is, I'm going to give you some things that, four attributes that will bring success in your life in these things. Number one, and I've already spoke many of them, so I'll make them quick. And number one is seek. Seek. The seeking heart always finds. The seeking heart always finds. Ask and talk to God. Ask and talk to God, okay? All right? And that is seek. Seek. Be proactive in your faith, not passive. Be proactive, not passive. Number two is spend time before the Lord. The evil one's always trying to challenge you on this one. You know, present to him a listening heart, right? Present to him a listening heart. I know that goes a lot with number one, but this is very important. So it's not just going to God, and it's not just over what I want to ask him, you know, or, you know, what I got on my mind. Now, you know, it is with the things you want to ask him, but it's not all about my agenda, okay? You know, I have to give myself to listen and hear his agenda. Are you listening to me there? Right? You know, and that's tough on my flesh, right? You know, because my flesh wants my agenda, okay? All right, so anyway, number three is to exercise faith and trust, all right? You're going to have to trust the Lord. And, you know, faith is more than trust. It's an activity of the heart and the mind combined together, you know, where you're proactive and you're practicing a way of faith. You have a mind consciousness of believing God. You know, that is part of faith, not just simply trust. Here's the fourth one. The fourth one is, may sound weird, but here it is. I've already spoken it, but just in a different way. Number four, hammer it out with the Lord. Hammer it out with the Lord. You know, if you don't hammer things out with the Lord, sometimes you just can't get through barriers that God wants to bring you through. You just can't get past barriers that God wants to bring you through. All right? You hammer it out. Remember in the beginning I said, you believe for things that you don't have faith for, but you know it's God. And you know that you feel prompted, but yet you don't feel like you really got the faith for it. Hammer it out. God's wanting to do it. That's why it's got your attention. Okay? Hammer it out. Everybody say hammer it out. Hammer it out. Hammer it out. That don't sound too glamorous, does it? Right? All right. Now, and with that, okay, here it is. Okay? Agonize it out before the Lord. Here's a dirty word for you, right? All right, agonize it out before the Lord. Travail in faith and prayer. Travail in faith and prayer. That's all part of hammering it out. Hammering it out. Everybody say hammer it out. Here's the last thing I've got to give you on this, and the Spirit of the Lord gave this to me. It's okay. Don't give up. And I got another one, all right? That was the Lord just spoke that to me so strong at the end of these things speaking to me. And here's the next one. The answer is coming. The answer is coming. Okay. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't the Lord good?